you have any plans to connect with them ahead of the signing on the phase one?
I'd sure like to. We were over in Beijing some time back and got to meet with a head trade troop there. And the assistant that he has, or his deputy, dealing with agriculture. And our man is Greg Dowd, who, by the way, used to work for me, then worked for the cattlemen, and has been doing an outstanding job. They met, oh gosh, if it's 46 times 2 weeks ago, why, it's probably a lot, you know, more times than that. So I think they've really gotten to work together, and they trust each other. Now, that's not to say that we might not see some hiccups we have in the past, and I hope that doesn't happen, but that would really be a breakthrough for us.
Any more details out on that signing ceremony?
I don't know all of the details. I will tell you that at least there is a very strong indication that next week we will start with regards to the impeachment trial here in the Senate. That's just what we've heard in the last, maybe 6 hours. And if that starts, that takes precedence over everything, although the Chinese talks will continue. It's just whether or not you would have time to actually participate or sit in the audience or, whisper sweet nothings in Bob Lighthizer's ear. But at any rate, the good thing to really stop and think about is, China's coming here to go step one, step two, and then hopefully down the road a more comprehensive trade agreement. We have signed an agreement with Japan. The House does not send the impeachment matter over to us, we're going to move to OMSCA, and that there is an outside chance if that happens that OMSCA could be, or the new NAFTA, if you want to call it that, could be voted on as of next week. But that would be teed up right away. Then you're talking about China, Japan, the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Those are the five biggest trading partners that we have dealt with in the past. There's always the EU, and we're allegedly working with them, but we've had no guarantee, as has happened in the past for many years, as to whether or not agriculture would be part of that. But certainly, if we did the other, that would be good news for every producer in America, be they a farmer, rancher, grower, with achieving some degree of price recovery, perhaps not right away, but down the road to recapture markets and to have just a better situation without all of these tariffs.
To clarify, when will you know more about impeachment, if that'll be taken up early next week?
That's up to the House and up to the Speaker. And I think there's agreement on the part of at least the Republican conference. I can't speak for the Democrat conference. I know where Colin Pearson is, and I respect him for that. But at any rate, he'd like to get to the business of the day, more especially with agriculture and these trade agreements. If it doesn't come over, it doesn't come over, and we will try to move to the people's business. If it does come over, why, we will do our due diligence. I was present for the impeachment process with President Clinton, and the culmination of that was strictly on a party line vote. They're way short of 67 needed. So the conclusion is pretty much decided. It's just whether or not we continue to play these political games. And I really wish we could get down to business and, as I say, concentrate on the things that affect the daily lives and pocketbooks of everybody that we have, especially in farm country.
Have you recently met with Greg Dowd to talk about the Phase One China deal?
Oh, we're in touch with Greg all the time. And he's pretty optimistic. My word, he's worked so terribly hard with it, as has his Chinese counterpart. He has the trust of Ambassador Lighthizer completely. I think he's done us a very good job, and I'm very proud of him.
Have you seen the text of the Phase One trade deal?
With China?
Yes, correct.
No, I have not yet. staff, if in fact that will be made available, staff will have that. We'll have to, you know, go over that with a fine-tooth comb. But I just hope we don't have a start-stop, you know, kind of a situation with China that's happened in the past. I think now's the time to get this consummated.
How do we guarantee enforcement will be carried through?
We just hope that the enforcement provisions, I can't really explain any more than I've already explained. There are some key provisions there, or at least proposed. But again, until China sits down and we get this signed, there's a lot of uncertainty with regards to how the T's are crossed or the I's are dotted. But China certainly needs our products, more especially with pork and what they've gone through with African swine fever. And I think that they are in a situation where they could resume a considerable purchase of corn and soybeans, hopefully wheat. Sorghum was the one first hit when the president put on the first tariff to China. I think it was with washing machines. I can't remember the other one. But the sorghum producer was the first one hit. We call that Milo in Kansas. I don't know what you call it up in the Red River Valley. But at any rate, that's a feed grain. And Kansas farmers had really planted a lot of acreage to that only to see the price plummet. And that would be an excellent market for us as well. I think it's pretty much across the board, so we just have to get there from here.
Transitioning topics from trade over to Farm Bill implementation. How is implementation of the Farm Bill coming along?
I think we're in concert with the our various farm organizations and also the department. There's always hiccups in the implementation. Just a few things. The dairy industry continues to make real progress of the improvement to the risk management tools. 23,000 dairy operations are enrolled now in the new dairy margin coverage program for 2019, and we're closely watching the enrollment of the 2020 program on crop insurance, which is something that I've been working on for a great number of years. Strong, it's intact, it's improved. There's always people that want to use the crop insurance program as a bank to finance something else. That did not happen. The risk management agency does allow now acreage from an adjoining county to be added to an enterprise unit. Especially that is of help to producers all across the Midwest and up in your part of the world to better manage their risks. The RMA is conducting multiple research and development studies into issues like quality loss, hurricane insurance, limited irrigation, things like that. The department also issued new guidelines for more flexibility when cover crops must be terminated while remaining eligible for crop insurance. So as a result, in crop year 2020, this one that we're already in, cover crop management practices will be considered a good farming practice, and that's a good step forward. We still have the ARC program, still have the PLC program. I suspect there'll be a lot more sign up in the PLC program if it already hasn't happened. They announced early last month, they meaning the department, the first general CRP sign up in nearly 4 years. That program is one of the largest and oldest voluntary conservation programs. Hate to date myself, but I was an early sponsor of that back in the House. I expect there will be a lot of interest from farmers and ranchers in signing up. There have been some adjustments to the rental rates and other Farm Bill improvements that hopefully will ensure that growers do follow market signals when making conservation and other management decisions.